we are to give thanks to the Lord and proclaim His greatness and His goodness for what He has done. God is able to preserve our lives in really treacherous times. And we saw that. So I'm thankful we have John and Teresa here to, Charlie, I'm sorry. I'm thankful we have them here to continue to make fun of them. And, but anytime you have life that's challenging, and I know the people that knew in the church were praying, and thank you for praying. But boy, when it's time to pray, it's time to pray. And so thank God for, I know that Randy Marincer was out helping fight the fires, took some machinery up, and you know, that's dangerous getting up in that stuff because they can't see as well. And they just kind of have to go by doing a little bit by little bit. So thank God that we're alive and well on planet Earth, and we're here to enforce the defeat of the enemy. And there's nothing about that kind of stuff that's the judgment of God. That's straight out of the pit of hell. And so, hallelujah. When I hear stuff like that, and I don't hear it anymore, thankfully, because people, I still will speak my mind. I don't know if you think I would or not, but I would. But if somebody said, well, they must be being judged for something, I said, well, next time fire starts, I hope it starts in your backyard. We'll pray for a big fire to come your way. I mean, that kind of thinking is the most stupid kind of thinking. Hallelujah. Well, that cancer is going to help you learn. Well, hold on. Let me pray for you to get a good dose of it. Because you need straightened out yourself. You know, God just does not use that kind of stuff. Amen. If He's going to correct you, He'll correct you with His Word. Amen. And I know the Robins and Schmidtbookers, I mean, they literally, they lost some stuff. They lost their pastor, got burned out, and that's major. And, the good thing is lives were spared. Amen. And we can always rebuild, and we're going to help them. So just continue to pray and encourage them. I'm thinking the enemy didn't like paradise, but it'll come back. And all the grief that said, amen. And then I had a couple of people ask me about Pastor Charlie, and I've been keeping up with them as best I can. I hadn't had a report for 2 days, and so I'd texted Charlie's son Brad and asked him if there's any updates, and he sent me one just right before church started. And so I'm going to read it to you and kind of give us his granddaughter, as Bradley's daughter, is a nurse, and she calls ICU and gets all the report. And when she gets a report, she gives you all the medical terminology, and you have to speak in tongues to get the interpretation. And so this one is just kind of like plain speech, which is good for me, and I think you'll understand it. But this is from Brad, and he said, they're going to do some tests on Pastor Charlie today to see how he will respond coming out of sedation. If he does well, they will start weaning him from the ventilator over the next several days. Other than that, he is holding steady. We are needing his platelets to rise to normal levels in the name of Jesus. This has been a concern. Also, we need COVID pneumonia to clear out quickly. And so, Father, we agree with them. Your word says if two or more of us agree on earth as touching anything that we shall ask, it'll be done by you, our Father, who is in heaven. And we thank you right now, Father God. We speak death to that COVID pneumonia. We curse it from the roots up. And we thank you, Lord, that his platelet levels are normal in Jesus' name. I'm speaking to Charlie's body right now. You receive normality of God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. And Lord, we thank you for the peace of God that's enveloping Margaret, his wife. And it's a peace that's beyond all understanding, and his children as well. Bradley, Quentin, and Kim, and all their grandchildren. God, that the spirit of peace would be upon them. God, I thank you for Charlie, my friend, one of the best friends I've ever had. And I thank you, Lord, that I believe that he does not want to go home like this. And I don't believe you want him to go home like us either, Father. So we thank you for his well-being. We thank you for him being healed and restored in Jesus' name. And all agreed if that said. Amen. Glory to God. So thank God for God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, everybody smile at me. We had a little bit of storm damage and just a little bit on the building here, but nothing major. A few shingles blown off and a little bit of metal blown off, and just glad to survive. Big tree limb fell and blew off it. Usually it's where I park when I come out here, and I decided I'm not going to go out to church right now. And then that storm came in, and that limb probably is 30, 40 pounds at least, and it would have landed right on my car. Not on my car. Everybody doing all right other than just, this is Christmas. We're coming into Christmas season. And I just remind you, we do have a Christmas Eve service, 6 o'clock, this coming Friday. And I tell people all the time, it never rarely lasts over an hour. And usually it's probably closer to 45 minutes, but it's always a blessed, blessed time. And so it's a good time to bring somebody, invite somebody that maybe is a little bit leery of church. And, sometimes now to me, it's weird that people would be leery of church, but I remember like when I was not born again and I went to churches, they kind of made me feel uncomfortable. I've told this story before, but it bears repeating, I think. But I went to, church with one of my sisters and her husband years ago, and it was a huge church. There's probably 700 people in that service that morning, and they had a guest speaker at this Baptist church, and they asked for hands of people that a show of hands, and they said, "We will not embarrass you in any way." And so they wanted a show of hands of people that probably knew that they weren't right with God, and I put my hand up and taking them at their word that they would not make us feel awkward in any way. And three or four guys came down off the platform when I raised my hand and come toward me and my brother-in-law, because he was a worse sinner than me, and he's probably watching right now. You were worse than me. Anyhow, they came down and, tried to talk us into giving our hearts to Jesus, which is not a bad thing, but just the arrogance of sometimes unbelievers is amazing. And I was one of those arrogant unbelievers. And, so we kind of talked our way through that and said, just not ready to do it at this time. And we went. And so when we got out to the, we honestly did this. When we got out to the car, we got out a couple of cigars and lit them up and smoked them and blew smoke out the windows on the way by. And just acted so arrogant. He said, "You did that, Pastor West?" "Yes, I did." And that was just 3 years ago. And no, that was a long time ago. But everybody needs a Savior. And it's not a one-time event. You need a Savior every second, every breath of your life. Because that's where life comes from. Amen? Born again or not, you need a Savior. And so when we ask people, and especially in church, most churches that preach Jesus, preach the born-again experience, most of the people who come are born again. And so that's why we need to bring sinners. And the sinners, sometimes it makes it sound bad, but what is a sinner? A sinner is somebody who hasn't been blood washed. And because of being a sinner, then they end up doing things that are ungodly rather than doing things that are godly because they get to know God. And so if you're spending all your time doing ungodly things, you might need to check your repentance level because you may not be born again. The Bible says he that habitually keeps on sinning, he's got a problem. And the problem is they don't know God. Because God's bigger than sin. And he comes to empower us to be free from sin. He doesn't want us to be enslaved by it, always thinking about it. He wants us to be free from it so we do not have to serve it, but we get to serve the living God. Can you say amen? So let's pray. We'll get into today's message. I believe it's going to be good. How about you? Father, today we thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for those who are here today. I thank you, Lord, you anoint our ears to hear accurately the word of God. Most important thing in the world today is your word. Nothing rises above it. And your word is forever settled in heaven and on earth. All we need to do is just walk in it. And thank you for the enlightenment that we get from your word. Thank you for your truth that you have given us over a lifetime. And we bless you. We give you praise in that name, which is above every name, the name Jesus. And all agree with that said, amen and amen. Last week I started my Christmas series, which will only be three sessions here today, and last week, today, and then Christmas Eve I'll finish up. But I just wanted to remind people, and the reason I named and titled this Born to Die was that sometimes we have a tendency over the years, we celebrate the birth of Christ every Christmas. And we thank God for Jesus being born into this world, but he literally was born to die. And he came into the world, the Bible says, to save sinners. And to save them from themselves, if you will. I like the way that Passion Translation says. It says, I can testify that the word is true. This is 1 Timothy 1:15. I can testify that the word is true and deserves to be received by all. For Jesus came into the world to bring sinners back to life. Even me, this is the Apostle Paul writing, the worst sinner of all. I would say that's pretty transparent, wouldn't you? A man that wrote probably a third, maybe a little bit more than a third of the New Testament. He said, I was the chief among sinners. I was in the front of that line. And, you know, I was, you've heard me say this, and I'm not saying this braggingly, it's because it's not something to be proud of. But in my school, in my class, if they were to vote on anybody in my class who'd be the most likely to end up in the ministry, I wouldn't even make it on one of the tallies. I would be the last one that anybody'd think, there's no way he would end up there. And then the man that started this church was a year older than me, and he would have been thought of the same way. We ran around together. We sinned together before we got righteous together. But God takes the foolish things of the world, which I was one of them, and confounds the wise. I remember one time I'd done, I think it was my mom's memorial service in Lakin. And a man that I grew up with, a couple years older than me, he had come up to me and I was sitting in the car getting ready to have the procession go to the cemetery and commit my mom's body to the earth. But this man that had known me for a lifetime, literally, we grew up half a block from each other. And he saw me grow up. He walked over to me and he said, you know, when I heard that you'd gone into ministry, I thought, no way will that ever work. Because he was thinking about how I was growing up and all that kind of stuff. But he said, you know what? Looks like God was right. And I said, thank you. That means a lot to me. But just because we're not perfect, and then you don't come into the kingdom of God, the only thing that gets created perfectly when you come into the kingdom of God, you open yourself up to Jesus, is the spirit man is completely renewed, passes from death to life instantly. Then you have to reprogram your mind. The Bible says not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's some renewing of your mind that takes place. Then you have to train your body to discern between good and evil. This body likes to do bad things. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for those weak head nods. Now the scripture that I really wanted to point out, I'm going to read the Christmas story, but the scripture we're going to kind of go toward today is the one out of John 15:13, where we're admonished by the Lord. It says, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. No greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. That's a New Living Translation. But you know, the thing about that is that Jesus laid down his life for us. And he even calls us friends. And the Bible says he laid down his life for us while we were yet sinners. And he came to bring sinners back to life. You know, once you become a saint, once you become born again, you no longer walk out, you should never walk around as a believer saying, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You can say it like this, I was a sinner, but now I'm saved by grace and I'm the righteousness of God. I'm no longer a sinner in God's eyes. You're no longer a sinner in God's eyes. You say, well, what if I missed the mark as a believer? Well, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is interceding on your behalf to get you back in line. Amen? I don't know. Does anybody besides me need to be straightened out once in a while? And yeah, this side's much, much more evil than this side, I can tell. This side's repented. But let's read out of Luke chapter 2, verse 6 through 16, and then verse 18. This is, again, the Passion translation. When they arrived in Bethlehem, Mary went into labor, and there she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped the newborn baby in strips of cloth, and Mary and Joseph laid him in a feeding trough since there was no available space in any upper room in the village. That night, everybody say that night. God's always on time. This is the night that God picked for from an eternity. This is when it's going to happen. In a field near Bethlehem, shepherds were watching over their flocks. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them, lighting up the field with the blazing glory of God, and the shepherds were terrified. But the angel reassured them, saying, "Don't be afraid, for I have come to bring you good news, the most joyful news the world has ever heard, and it is for everyone, everywhere." Who's it for? And where? That's where you live. And that's where you work. For today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. He's the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah. You will recognize him by this miraculous sign. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in the feeding trough. Then all at once in the night sky, a vast number of glorious angels appeared, the very armies of God, of heaven. And they all praise God, seeing glory to God in the highest realms of heaven, for there is peace and a good hope to the sons of men. When the choir of angels disappeared and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go, let's hurry, and find this word." It's interesting how the Passion Translation says this. But that word out of the Greek is the word rhema. And so let's go, hurry, and find this word that was said, and the word that was done. God said it. That pretty much settles it. Amen. Who is born in Bethlehem, and see for ourselves what the Lord has revealed to us. So they hurried off and found their way to Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in a feeding trough. Everyone who heard, this is verse 18 now, everyone who heard the shepherd's story was astonished by what they were told. And as I said last week, these were not just any shepherds. Around Bethlehem, there's all sorts of shepherding taking place. But for some reason, this particular group of shepherds was picked for God to reveal himself to. And there are many theologians that think that these shepherds were tending the sacrificial flocks that they used for worship in the temple and the tabernacle. And so they were aware of what they were doing. And so I think the Lord had prepared them for this night. And he did it with lowly shepherds. He didn't go to the higher up people in the community. He went and, you know, I'm not saying that the shepherds are lowly by any means, but sometimes we have a tendency to rate people socially. Well, they're really rich, or they're not so well off. They're just middle class, or they're lower class, or, you know, God just loves dealing with people that seem to be down and out in the world's eye. That's why it came to me. Amen. So they very likely were the shepherds that were tending those sheep that were ready, being raised up for the sacrifices that they prepared and did in the temple. So the Lord tells them, today in Bethlehem. And New King James says in Luke 2:11 says, "For today unto you," now I'm just shortening this down a little bit, but "for today, for you, a Savior is born. And one of the words they use for Savior is rescuer. There's one coming that's going to rescue you from a horrible ending. Did you know that as a believer, matter of fact, anybody that dies, since it's appointed on a man once to die, then comes a judgment. Did you know that the spirit man on you is going to live forever, whether it's born again or it's not? If it's not born again, it's going to go directly to hell, will not pass goal, receive $200 in goal. It's not a monopoly game. And so people sometimes think, well, getting born again, not a big deal. I don't know if, evidently people have more courage than I do because I don't want to test those kind of waters. I don't want to die not knowing where I'm going. Years ago, they did a pretty hard-hitting commercial. You could buy videos, commercials on that were done for just advertising for your church. And one of them was a video of a young man that was getting all dressed up. And it was kind of as in black and white. And some of you may remember this. I think we showed it a couple of times and got a lot of flack because they thought, how dare you? And, but I kind of, I enjoy doing that kind of stuff once in a while. And, but anyhow, he was all dressed up black and black kind of back lipstick and got him all dressed up in a tuxedo. And the next thing you know, he's laying in a casket, dead. And the caption was, all dressed up with nowhere to go. Except we know if he didn't know Jesus, he went somewhere. And so it is a big deal. Well, Pastor, I belong to such and such church, and that's why I'm going to heaven. No, you do not get saved because you belong to a church. You get saved because you become the church. And that's when you meet Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church. We are the many members making up that church. But the way into the body is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except by me. The Lord tells us that very clearly. So it's appointed unto you and me. So when we come into the kingdom of God, God wants us to just continue, lay our lives down for others. Take a moment. Yesterday, we had some of the men get together at Light of the World. I had breakfast yesterday morning. And this first time I'd met with them at a breakfast, because I'm usually traveling to Hayes, and it didn't work out, but it did work out yesterday. We went in there, and the waitress came, and there was eight of us, seven besides me. And she said, do you want one ticket, or do you want separate tickets? And one guy said, well, just give us one ticket and we'll figure it out. And so a few minutes after that happened, the Lord said, just take care of the breakfast. And I said, okay, I'll do that. He said, but I want you to have them give a tip to the waitress instead of, and I said, well, okay. So I went and took care of it. And so I told him, I said, I said, guys, the Lord told me that I'm glad to take care of the breakfast, but the Lord wants to bless this lady. And so they all said, great. And so they pulled out. And before it was all over, I think between the eight of us, had probably given her a little bit over $200 tip. Which means nothing, but to her probably meant a lot. And she hadn't seen that yet. And so right before we got ready to leave, because it was real busy, and I called her over, and I said, ma'am, I said, these gentlemen here go to Light of the World. And she said, the church? I said, yes. And I said, we really felt like we wanted to bless you today. And tears started forming in her eyes. And I said, but we're praying for you that you have a blessed Christmas. And one of the gentlemen that was with us, he looked at her and says, is there something that we can pray with? This is in a public place. Is there something that we can pray with you about? And she said, well, yeah. She says, I want you to pray for my two daughters. And she gave us their names. And as she was crying with tears running down her cheeks, she just said, I want you to pray that they just be happy. There's only one way to be truly happy. That's walking with Jesus. Amen. To me, it was a great moment. And we took an opportunity to extend, if you will, the hand of God. And we're always looking for those kind of opportunities. I don't know about you. Always looking for those kind of opportunities to give, to sow, to bless. If you run around with Tom Wasinger at all, I've got it. Joe, just remind me I can take a drink. Hello. But anyhow, laying your life down for others is a biblical principle. Doing what God wants you to do. And if you run around with Thomas Walsinger at all, everywhere he goes, he's looking to give. He's looking to give so much that people that have received from him over time, they start looking him up. And you kind of got to be careful around him when you say, you know, I need something. Because he's thinking, how can I get that to them? And I like that kind of thinking, real honestly. But it's also a voice or it's an ear that listens to God say, I want to use you to bless people. And I want to draw attention to the Lord. To me, the Lord would say. So let's look at this a little bit closer. I'm going to read out of 1 John 1, 1 through 5. This is a New Living Translation. It says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. And then jumping on down to verse 13 in that same chapter, New Living Translation, says, they are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made His home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Love is expressed so many ways in this earth. One of the last places that people look to be blessed or to walk in love is in their life. We think we're creatures of love. We're literally created out of love because God is love. And yet at the same time, none of us are really sure that God loves us. When you really truly believe God loves you, you will trust Him with everything. The same way you do in a relationship, the more you fall in love with anybody, that relationship becomes closer and closer. Starting with God, going into even like a marital relationship. I tell people all the time, even in a marriage, the best thing you can do is nurture your love walk. Tell somebody you love them when you don't feel like you do. You say, when is that, Pastor? Well, it's about every day. Maybe not quite that often. Maybe every other day. I do not go by my feelings. But you know what? A lot of times my feelings line up with that, which is amazing to me. Rarely, I know that this may not mean anything to a lot of people, but in our family, we rarely part without saying, love you. I mean, we even do that when we go to the bathroom. Where are you going to the bathroom? I love you. Just did that teasingly a couple of times in my life, but I'd get up and say to the kids, hey, anybody want to go? And they say, yeah, I'll go. I said, where are you going? I'm bathroom. And nobody takes me up on it. You can express love in a lot of ways. Sometimes words are really good to do, but sometimes words seem a bit shallow. Sometimes actions prove more. Do you not think that's true? Listen, God did not send his only begotten Son to take upon human flesh and to walk among us, give his life for us, go to hell for us, and be raised up together in him and seated at the right hand of the Father in him so that we could live our life our way. He did that so we could live our lives his way. We should always be asking God, how do you want us to live? How then shall we live knowing God? And that's a decision we all have to make from time to time. Probably every day of our life, if you will. But God is a love creature. He loves you. And you got to be willing to lay down your life for your friends. And willingly lay it down. I shared with you last week, I think, what was so special about Mary that God chose her to bear her son, his son, in her body? Because she's not divine. I know the church tries to make her divine, but, I mean, and what she did was an incredible thing. I mean, I'm looking forward to meeting Mary in heaven, but I'm not going to be worshiping her. And I don't think when we get there, she would want us to worship her. The word coming into our life, but through her, that's an example. I'm going to digress a bit. But to us, that's an expression, that's an example of the word taking upon itself flesh and dwelling among us. When we begin to speak the word, when we begin to live the word of God, that word is intended to take upon, I believe, flesh and dwell among us even yet today. Grow in our hearts when that word comes in and it's impregnated by the Spirit of God. It can produce life in us. But what got God's attention with Mary? Why does the Bible says, Mary, you're blessed among women? He didn't say you're blessed above women. He said you're blessed among. Why did he say that? Theologians think that Mary is anywhere from 13 to 16 years of age. Some of you'd be real mad for God showing up and asking a daughter to be pregnant at that age. Kristen was administrator to Mary Elizabeth home while it was still in existence there. They took in unwed teenage mothers, and one or two times they had a young gal at 13 years old. And more accurate, everybody thinks, I'm sorry about that. this message is just choking me up. Anyhow. But the truth of the matter is that she probably was closer to 16. This probably makes her, but anyhow, they'll say accurately 13 to 16 years of age. What was it that made her so special? Because God's not a respecter of persons. And back in that day, they knew, the Israelites knew, the Jews knew, Jews knew that the name of the Messiah was going to be Jesus. And so they were naming their kids, hoping it'd be them. And then I had this one good thought in doing some study that what God saw in Mary was a willing heart. A willing heart. The willing heart that said, God, you can do anything you want with me. I'm available. How many of you know that takes a willing heart? How many of you woke up this morning and said, God, I'm available. Whatever you need to change in me, change. Whoa. God's thinking, wow, this is going to be fun. But most of us don't want to open up to the Lord in such a manner. But I'm telling you, if you do, the word will be delivered out of you. And the manifestation of that word will deliver you in any situation, whatever the case may be. Even Mary had no clue that this one that was birthed through her was going to be her rescuer. Had no clue. And you and I don't really realize how powerful the Word of God, when it comes in our life and we allow it to literally take root on the inside of us, because it is a seed and it will grow up and produce an abundant crop in our life. We have no idea how important it is to get the Word of God into us so it can be birthed out into our life and literally deliver us out of any situation that we come up against. I believe God wants us delivered over and over and over again, and He's willing to pay, and He paid the price. More than willing to pay the price. He gave His only begotten Son. When we think about God's love for us, we should all think of John 3:16. For God so the world. That's the sin-filled world. That He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a great thing. But we come to the place in everyday life where we think, well, the sooner we realize that we cannot live life without God, the better off we're going to be. How many of you tried to go a day or two on your own? I'm always amazed at people in the local church. They'll get mad because things didn't work out the way they thought they should. Well, aren't you something? You have got to give some time or other, you're going to have to give God the benefit of the doubt that He knows what He's doing. They get mad because they don't understand why God just didn't deliver them out of such and such. And listen, I don't have answers for everything, but I know there's a devil in this world, and the devil does not get near enough credit. Amen. The Bible says, this is how you decide whether or not what you're going through is of God or of the enemy. The Bible says, Jesus Himself gives us these words in John 10:10. For the thief, the devil, comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And the Bible says, Jesus was born that He might save us, sin and rescue us. And He came into the world to defeat the enemy. And we're in Him. And bless God, we need to understand that we do have certain rights given to us, authority given to us by God in Jesus Christ's name. We have authority over all the power of the... Everybody say, over all the power. Think about this. This is a great thought to me. But when Jesus was raised from the dead and born again, first born again man. Ever. One man, born of the Spirit, born of God, defeated the entire force of hell. One man. One born again man. That's what Jesus is. Kind of different than He was when He left heaven, because now he's living in an immortal, glorified heavenly body. One man defeated all the forces of darkness. And that one man, glory to God, lives in you and me. That's pretty good news. Can I read you another long passage of Scripture? I'm not taking a vote. I'm reading it anyhow, but I'm just going to. John 1. I'm going to read it out of the 1 through 14 out of the Passion Translation. I like the way it says. In the beginning, the living expression was already there. That's speaking of Jesus. And the living expression was with God, yet fully God. They were together face to face in the very beginning. And through His creative inspiration, this living expression made all things, for nothing has existence apart from Him. A fountain of life was in Him, for His life is light for all humanity, and this light never fails to shine through darkness, light that darkness could not overcome. Suddenly a man appeared who was sent from God, a messenger named John, for he came as a witness to point the way to the light of life and to help everyone believe. John was not that light, but he came to show who is. For he was merely a messenger to speak the truth about the light. For the perfect light of truth was coming into the world and shine upon everyone. He entered into the world he created, yet the world was unaware. He came to the people he created. Think about that. Came to the people he created. To those who should have received him, but they didn't even recognize him. But those who embraced him and took hold of his name, he gave authority to become the children of God. He was not born by the joining of human parents or from natural means or by a man's desire, but he was born of God. And so the living expression became a man and lived among us. We gazed upon his glory. For the glory of the one and only who came from the Father overflowing with tender mercy and truth. The Bible tells us that had Satan and the demonic forces known, they would not have crucified the Son of God. Because what happened then was after that one born again man, Jesus Christ, then the people that began to then believe in him and partake of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, when they got born again, looked just like him. Now there's not just one, but there's multiplied hundreds of millions of Christians that look just like Jesus. How do you think God sees you? I got to tell you, I look pretty good in the natural. That's just my own personal opinion. If I stay far enough away from the mirror, you can make any wrinkle pass away. But your glorified spirit man is an incredible looking being. Absolutely incredible. And when you pass from this body and get resurrected, you get to heaven, you're going to get a heavenly immortal body. And everybody's going to look as good as everybody else. I mean, you're not going to be cared. I can't believe he looks that much better than me. You won't care up there. You're not going to care if you look like Pinocchio as long as you have the short nose. We literally think carnally too much. We should think about who we are in Christ. God paid an incredible price. And he came to those who were created by him. And they did not even, you say, well, I would have recognized him. No, you're just like them. Most of those, you probably wouldn't have. But because even the disciples that walked with him, lived with him for 3 years, they had a hard time biting into this was the Son of God. And there came a time in John 14, and Jesus said, who do you think? Well, some say you're Elias, and some say you're Elijah, returned from the dead. And Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And bless God, Peter spoke up. He said, well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter said, you know what? Or Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed that unto you, but my Father. We need that revelation in our life. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God and we've been born again in him. So that makes us heirs to the kingdom. That makes us direct heirs to the kingdom. We are sons and daughters of God. You ought to wake up every morning and look in the mirror. Don't even wait till you look in the mirror because that may scare some of you. And wake up every morning and say, God loves me. I think if you were to ask my kids, my adult children, and I think if you ask them, do you love your dad? They'd all go, well, yeah, I love my dad. Can I get a head nod on that answer? Can I get a witness? But you know what? They know I love them. I say a lot, but my actions prove it. I love it. And they love me. And I sit around thinking about my kids a lot. Why? Because they're my children. I sit around thinking about my children's children. And now my children's children. And if there's any more coming after that, then I'm going to start speaking in tongues more. But the amazing thing about that, and what I'm saying is, I love my children's children as much as I love my children. And I love my children's children's children as much as I love my children's children's children. Why? Because that's the way the love of God is. Well, I was talking with somebody yesterday, and they were the baby of the family. Actually, it was Jake, one of Debbie's oldest. Of course, the oldest, you kind of practice and experiment with them, and maybe that's why the twins. Okay. I won't say much there, but anyhow. But he said that as the younger ones come, they got to do stuff, and he'd say to his parents, well, I never could get away with that. And I remember I was the baby in our family. We had three sisters and a brother, and I was the youngest. I remember them saying that about me. Mom, you would have never let us do that. You would have never let us get away with that. And I would say, that's because she loves me more. But somewhere along the line, I talk to people who say my mom and dad don't love me. I can't imagine that. You know, sometimes if you love your kids, you got to beat the hell out of them. Now, I'm using a translation loosely, but the Bible says you can drive hell far from them with a little swat on the tush. Well, Pastor Wes, I'm a Christian, and I just don't like being physical with my kids. Well, if you don't be physical with them now, they're going to be physical with you later. And I love the look I used to get, and I said, well, get ready to spank them. I said, this is going to hurt me worse than you. And they're going, how's that work? My goal in spanking was that when I spanked him, it was a double cheek grabber. Ow! Did I spank you guys? Lindsay always prefaced going and getting, because I take him back in the back to the bedroom. Just them. I wouldn't spank him in front of the other kids, because the other kids loved it. They're going, it's not me, it's not me, it's not me. Yeah. But on the way back with Lindsay, she'd be going, before I ever even race, I don't hit him with my hand. I always had a spoon or a little paddle, a baseball bat, maybe one. That's not true. Strike. And Lindsay would start going, owie, owie, owie. I said, I'm not even hit you yet. And then Seth always used his wit well. Takes after his dad. But anyhow, he was being marched down to the bedroom, and that's back when they were doing all sorts of advertising about parents who get angry and beat their children wrongly. And that's the problem. That's why people quit spanking their children, because people have likened a spanking to beating them. And a spanking is different, because it's done in love. It's not done out of anger. But there was a commercial that would say, get a hold of yourself before you get a hold of your child. So Seth's about 4 years old, and Sandy's walking him down the hallway to get a spanking, and Seth looks up, says to Sandy, get a hold of yourself before you get a hold of your child. How could you spank that? You can't. So she said, I'm going to wait till your dad comes home. I thought that was great thinking. And that's passed on in that family. I was babysitting Wes and JC when Wes was maybe three or four, somewhere in there. And JC was pretty young. They were getting ready to move. They had boxes packed up and everything, and Wesley kept getting up on a box and jumping off, and there's stuff all over, and he could fall or trip up and hit, you know. So I said, Wes, don't jump off that box. Not in here. It's too much stuff. And he got up, and he jumped off of it again. I said, buddy, you do that one more time, I'm busting your butt. You say, you talk like that? Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. And then I said, I'm spanking your rear. No, I'm going to bust your bottom. And so a couple of minutes later, I'm sitting there, and things have kind of calmed down a little bit. And Wesley walks over and says, Grandpa? And I said, yeah. And he says, JC wants you to go home. I thought, that's awesome. How could you spank that? So kids, your words can get you out of trouble. I'm telling you. But we don't understand what love is. Love is doing what God says. And the Bible says that you train a child up, and when they grow up, you train them up. Spank them early. Amen. All the kids are going, preach it, Pat. No, they're saying, dear God, shut up. We're afraid to discipline our children. And God tells us to discipline them. Just like he disciplines us. Lots of time it is with just words. Spanking is not always the answer. I understand that. But it sure makes you feel all powerful when you can spank those kids. Huh. So God created everything for you and me so that we could come into this world. And just like him, I believe we're all called in this world to help him save people from eternal destruction. And whatever we can do to lay down our lives to make that happen, let's do it. Amen? Let's not be a people that determined to let the enemy have his way, because he's not going to have his way. I don't believe he had his way in the fires Wednesday, and it looks like there's some stuff that got not burn up and stuff, but thank God, God saved the important thing. That's human life. Can you say amen to that? God created you and me with the purpose. When he created Adam and Eve, he created them to be perfectly righteous for eternity. And then the enemy came in and they bought a lie. We think, well, that was once for, but listen, every one of us have an opportunity to buy a lie, to bite into a lie. Well, God can get by without you. He can get by without any of us. And I'm not saying that disrespectfully, but he'd really rather get things done with us and have us be a part of his plan, not just for our own life, but for others as well. Amen. And so our Lord, he indeed was born as a baby, but he grew up to hang there. And this looks pretty glamorous here, but the crosses were anything but glamorous. Probably one of the worst ways to kill a person that's ever been created. And he was willing, not just to be willing to die, but he was willing to die on the cross, which was the worst way anybody, that's where they put the worst sinners. So I don't know about you, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful that the blood of Jesus came my way, and I know you're thankful that the blood of Jesus came your way. But I think this, and let me read this. Galatians 6:8 out of the New Living Translation said, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Everybody look up here. God loves you. Nothing you can do that can change that. You can choose not to walk in it, but he loves you. The God of the universe expanding at the speed of thought loves you. Everybody say, he loves me. He loves you and he'll keep his word to you. Say this with me. Stand with me. We'll make a declaration on our feet. The Bible says to let the redeemed say, I am healed. Let the redeemed say so. Your spiritual life has a lot to do with what you speak into existence. Can you say amen? But say this with me. I'm not going to die. Not today. Not tomorrow. And not in the near future. I'm going to live a long life. And I'm going to live it for God. I'm not going under. My finances are stable. Over the top. I'm going over in everything. My family is not going to be destroyed. We're going to make it. My kids are going to make it. My marriage is going to make it. My ministry is going to make it. We all have a ministry. My church is going to make it. I'm going to make it because God loves me. He loves me, and I can count on him. Glory to God. That's just the truth. And we have to, I say that a lot, but we really need to make sure that we just trust God. To think about that today as day goes by. God loves me. The one who created you out of love. He did not create you to put you in harm's way, but there's one who would like to get you in harm's way. He's called the devil. Satan. Char was telling me that she and Kinsey were at home and the debris and stuff from the fire plus the wind blowing the way. Well, just the wind by itself was producing, you couldn't see because of the dust. And they couldn't even see to get off the place. And John couldn't even see to get into the place. And all they had to trust was that God loved them enough to protect them. Because there's other houses that burnt down. Other farmsteads that were wiped out. I know the Pruders, Dina's mom's house wasn't lived in, but it got burned down. But there was nobody living in it. Amen. So thank God for spared life. And he continues to spare life today, and I thank God he's sparing the life of Pastor Charlie Mendenhall. Amen. I miss my telephone calls from that guy. I really do. He called me about every other day, if not every day. And I really miss that. Call me every Sunday. Ask me what I'm preaching on. Call him every Sunday and ask him what I'm preaching on. And I said, sometimes send me notes. But I just believe God loves us enough to do what he says he'll do. Amen. And I know, and I'm not going to get into this real in-depthly, but I know there's times that things happen we do not understand. But you got to understand, God knows what's going on. And if it didn't turn out the way you thought it should, we're believing God from a human standpoint, so to speak. But God's character, his faithfulness, never fails. Amen. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. God is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. Amen. Be seated for just a short moment. Tom's going to come.
Thank you. You ready?
Ready.
Good morning. I love coming up here because so much wisdom comes out of this, man. I got some revelation knowledge this morning. Alex, Charlize, Charles, we're all going to look alike in heaven. That just made my day. I'm going to look like them. It's such a blessing. So anyway,
my wife, rather look like Charles than Charlisa.
No. She's such a beautiful
person. Well, she's a beautiful lady, but I mean, women are going to look different in heaven.
She wanted to come up here this morning, and I wouldn't let her because she breathed in all that smoke and that dirt and all the soot and everything, and her voice is real deep this morning, so I didn't let her come up here. Lindsay, good to see you again. How are you? Anyway, my wife got a message from God the other day, and I asked her, I said, can I use that Sunday morning? I get up and say something. And she didn't say yes, but I wouldn't. So she's at home anyway. So anyway, she said, God uses the body of Christ to bless the body of Christ. So after we're at church, God puts it on your heart to find out from William and Charlize and John or anybody what they may need, or like Pastor said, Randy's been out there helping people too. If they need anything, just ask them what they need. Just be a blessing. Ask God to, you know, put that on their heart. This is a season of giving, and that's just what we want to do. We want to bless the body of Christ. And that's why I'm up here today, because of Pastor Wes and the other pastors. Pastor Wes and Pastor Trey are the only two that are here today. And the others are out on a mission field. Mission field. They are. Anyway. So, anyway, we got baskets set up back there for the five, for Pastor Wes, Tim, Brandon, Isaiah, and Trey.
Good.
And Ethan, next year we might have you up there, buddy. Thank you for what you do. You know, you guys have been busy this time of year. You know, I know you and Royce and Isaiah and all these guys, so thanks for what you're doing. So anyway, you're getting the package to the kids. Anyway, we'd like to ask you to extend your hands and pray over a pastor for everything he's done. He's made a lot of trips and a lot of sacrifices these last few months to bless us. So we just want to pray over him and bless him today, okay? So, Father, we just thank you for bringing Pastor Wes and these other men into ministry. Thank you that they have a heart to serve. We thank you, Lord, for their love towards each other and towards us, that this church would not be what it is today if it weren't for men like them. So we ask that you bless them and bless this season. And we just thank you for it and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Well, thank you, Tom. You know what? I think I got up and left this morning. We had a Christmas celebration with Debbie's side of the family yesterday, and we'll do ours this next weekend here with our kids. But I was thinking on the way down here, this is it's the last series that I teach as a senior pastor for Christmas, and I thought, that hurts. But then I got real excited thinking about what God had coming, because it would be a new day. And so anyhow, we have an incredible opportunity to live life. And I've never, ever thought for a moment that I was going to retire. And, I think things can change, and they definitely have. But I'm just so thrilled for what God's doing, not just in this body, but in the leadership and that kind of thing. People are stepping up. You guys have been incredible. And this church has been easy to pastor through the COVID season. And that's because you have a spirit of faith in you. And you know you can depend upon God. You don't have to have a pastor around all the time. And pastors are available, but God's more available. Amen. Let's stand. It's been a good morning. Parents, go home and practice what I preach this morning. One of my granddaughters on the Varney side that belongs to the daughter that lives in Sioux Falls, she has a little daughter named Ellie. And Ellie was buzzing around, and I said, Ellie, you know what I used to tell my kids when they're about your size? And she'd say no. I said, I would tell them to come over and bend over my knee because I need to practice spanking somebody. She did not volunteer. But anyhow, listen, hang on to this. If you didn't hear anything else out of this message, get this. On the inside of you, God loves me. If you grew up in Sunday school, you sang a song that it's forever true. Jesus loves me. this I know, for the Bible tells me so. For no other reason. That's it. They start teaching young. Even in the Presbyterian church, we sang that song. Amen. Father, I bless these people. I bless them in the name of Jesus. I thank you for your goodness, your mercy that flows richly into every household represented here. And God, I thank you that what the enemy has meant for harm, you turn it to our good in the name of Jesus. And I'll speak to you, enemy, right now. Devil, you're going to pay back seven times what you tried to destroy and tried and got done in some ways, but you're going to pay it back in the name of Jesus Christ. And you're going to pay it back to William Robbins and the Smith. You're paying it back in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for your word that holds the enemy accountable. And he'll not get by with this in Jesus' name. And all agree with that said, amen, amen. You are dismissed. God bless you. We'll see you Friday night, 6 o'clock.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.